Wait a minute. Josh, are you telling me you built a Metal Gear out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're gonna turn a car into a walking battle tank, why not do it with some style? So, Tom, you were just recently in Vegas. How hot was it?
Well, it's funny, Josh. We were both in Vegas on the same day, but we did not interact with each other.
Yeah, we were on opposite ends of Vegas, pretty much.
You're in old Vegas.
Yeah. Blech. I loved it, though. I loved it.
I like shiny new Vegas. There's a lot to love in that city.
Yeah. Did you go anywhere fun to eat?
We didn't have time to eat. So, basically, we had an 11:30 flight. And we got to Vegas at 3 in the afternoon. So we were doing everything we can to make ourselves as tired as possible so that we would just sleep on the flight. Didn't eat anything, but we did get like a happy hour deal at a bar in the Excelsior or Excalibur, whatever the castle one was.
It's, Excelsior, Stan Lee's casino.
Yeah, yeah. What about you?
No, we stayed over at the Red Rock. We went out to Vegas one night. It was one of our last nights there. We ended up eating at Hell's Kitchen. It was not that good.
Did Gordon Ramsay come out and call you a dick face?
No, but the person who just won this past season of Hell's Kitchen was actually there cooking.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, we got some stuff, compliments of the chef.
Oh.
You have some fancy like watermelon slices, and I'm like, what? It's just watermelon.
I can get this in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. The steak wasn't that great. I've had better steaks in my life, and I've paid way less for those steaks.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like you're eating in hell.
That's true. Oh my god, it was so hot in the building too, and everyone's like, "Well, it's because we're in hell." And I'm like, no, I get it. I get the joke, but like, it's 103 degrees outside right now. I don't want it to be 103 degrees while I'm eating hot food as well.
Oh, I love the weather.
I hate that. I hated it.
I was so happy because it was consistent and because it was that perfect dry heat where there's always a breeze. Just for like perspective's sake, we left Vegas the second I walked out of Philadelphia airport into the humidity of a Pennsylvania summer. I was like, ugh, kill me now.
So speaking of killing me now, we started talking about this game and I didn't realize all the backlash that this game has, Tom.
Really?
Yes.
Truly?
I cannot stress how much backlash that this game has gotten.
Well, let's get into it.
And with that, welcome to A Cast of the Past, where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light. As always, I'm Josh.
And I'm Tom.
So Metal Gear Solid is apparently very close to a lot of people's hearts in the video gaming world.
Oh, really? You would say that there are some fans of this game that are highly obsessed to a concerning degree?
I would say they're not more obsessed with the franchise. They're more probably obsessed with the person who created the franchise.
Oh, you mean the greatest movie director who ever became a video game developer.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mm.
So, Tom,
mm-hmm.
We're going to dive into Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes today.
Yeah, baby.
So, Tom, give me that nitty gritty.
Metal Gear Solid The Twin Snakes was released in North America on March 9th, 2004, exclusively for the Nintendo GameCube. It is a remake of Metal Gear Solid, the PlayStation game. It was jointly developed by Konami and Silicon Knights, and it was produced, of course, by Metal Gear series creator Hideo Kojima.
Silicon Knights, the creators of the Blood Omen Legacy of Kain game,
mm-hmm.
And one of the most fan-favorite GameCube games to be released, Eternal Darkness.
A game which is beloved and also really hard to find.
It is almost as hard as this game to find too.
Well, unless you bought it on day one, beat it in 8 hours, and then just kept it for 15 years.
Tom,
yeah,
how excited were you when they said that they were going to remake Metal Gear Solid
back in 2003 ish whenever this was announced? I was overjoyed. Little history on Metal Gear. From me, the first Metal Gear experience I ever had was with Metal Gear Solid 1, and that was mostly just watching my cousins play it, and it looked like one of the coolest games I'd ever seen, but I wasn't allowed to play it because of sheltering parents. So when I got a PlayStation 2 around like 2001 or 2, Metal Gear Solid 2 was the game I bought with it, because I was like, ooh, it's the sequel to that cool game. And you know, controversial take here maybe, but I love Metal Gear Solid 2, everything about it. It's a great game. And so when I was told that they were going to remake the first game on a new console with the mechanics of Metal Gear Solid 2 and updated graphics and everything to give you a new take on the story of 1, I was like, this is great. This is like proof that miracles exist. What about you? Do you remember where you were when this game debuted?
So I remember picking up like a copy of EGM, I think.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
And I saw the article in there for Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes. And I was like, this looks a lot like the original Metal Gear Solid game. And then reading some more into it, I was like, oh my God, like it is. It's a remake of the first one. So this kind of got that Resident Evil 1 remake for the GameCube, which I absolutely loved the Resident Evil remake that came out. And this was, at the time, I was like, what? This is crazy. They're adding so much more into it. They added more, like, a lot of the features from Metal Gear Solid 2. They added more cutscenes. They kind of went a little bit more in detail with some of the story cinematics. Specifically, the hallway scene going to Gray Fox.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's just to be clear, like you said, this is not like a remaster. This is the original game retooled, kind of revisited. It's like, you know, the special editions of Star Wars, you know, but like not in a bad way. It's just more of a reflection of when you get old games again, I feel like you get them in one of two ways. It's like HD remaster, where they don't tweak with it too much, they just polish it up, and then full-blown remakes, where they're aiming to give you an old game in a new light.
Yeah, you had several games like this come out. Yeah, like I said, I mentioned the Resident Evil remake. Resident Evil 2 remake's coming out later next year. We also had, like, the Shadow of the Colossus remake came out. The Crash Bandicoot games, they kind of got that whole, like, revamp to them as well. Spyro's coming out soon, too. So, like, a lot of games get this over time, and usually fans are on opposite ends. Either they love it or they hate it, and there's really no middle ground to it. So hopefully with our discussion today, we'll be able to kind of figure out where we lie.
Navigate those murky waters.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to go over the plot, because if you're listening to this, you're probably familiar with Metal Gear Solid. And if you're not familiar with Metal Gear Solid, I don't want to ruin anything for you. You should just go and experience it.
Yeah, the original Metal Gear Solid is about 20 years old right now. So I think you guys had some time to get into it, or at least know what it's about.
The franchise itself is 31 this year, as film director Justin Vogt Roberts spent the last month holding a kind of like tribute campaign to Metal Gear on his Twitter, where he was retweeting artwork from fans, and he even made like a little video with voice actor David Hayter reprising his role as Snake. So it's a long-running franchise.
So Tom, this came out 14 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you said you got this on day one. Going back and replaying it, what did you think of it?
I still think it's a really great remake. I like it a lot. I'm just going to get the elephant in the room out of the way. I am so happy that they remade the first Metal Gear game with like more polished graphics and more interesting cinematics and all that stuff. But the introduction of the mechanics from Metal Gear Solid 2 kind of break this game in a way. It's the one thing that I can't ignore as a problem. Being able to go into first person mode when you're shooting, which was a idea that was in Metal Gear Solid 2, not Metal Gear Solid 1, kind of breaks this game on several occasions, because in the original Metal Gear Solid, you had kind of a top-down view at all times. And when you fired, you were kind of relying on like an auto-aim if enemies were out of the camera frame. And that's how some boss battles were constructed. You know, you were just kind of firing blindly, but like you were kind of trying to be patient and line up your auto aim, which was a challenge back then. So now that you can just go into first person mode and carefully line up headshots, there's a couple bosses that are really easy. And also on the MGS2 mechanic side, they introduced the ability for Snake to climb over, hang off of, and drop down from ledges. So it makes a lot of vertically scaled levels really easy to kind of get through, because in the first version of this game, you had to manually walk up and down stairs, climb up and down ladders. But now if there's a ledge you can just easily dangle from, you can get through some areas pretty quickly. So I love the presentation, but think the mechanics are a problem.
That seems to be the biggest and like number one thing that everyone hates about this game.
The mechanics.
It's the fact that they put the mechanics from Metal Gear Solid 2 into this game here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people are upset with a feature that you don't need to use.
It's true.
Like, you don't need to go into first person mode. You don't need to hang from ledges. Like, these are all optional things that they created a whole other button for you to press in order to do this kind of stuff. So if it happens, it's because you want it to happen. So you're complaining that this game has these features that you are willingly using. Like, so you're complaining that this game sucks because of these features that you're using.
Well, if you're going to blame me, I'm going to get aggressively defensive.
I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming people in general, because I posted this up online and I have 43 comments of why people don't like this game.
And it all boils down to that.
So
let me just say that you're not wrong.
It doesn't boil down to just that being the issue. And a couple other things. There was stuff there that replaying this game, I kind of noticed as well.
Okay.
The number one thing being the soundtrack. The soundtrack seemed a little bit more techno-y, I think, in the GameCube version. And there really wasn't any standout tracks. You didn't really have your, like, bam, 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 bam. Like, you had a version of it, but it was kind of, like, super techno-y, and it just didn't fit the game, I think.
Okay.
And the biggest thing that people hated was the overall ridiculousness of the action scenes in this game. The one that I noticed mainly is when you're at the second Sniper Wolf fight.
Yeah.
And she's shooting at you. It's during the cutscene towards the end. She's shooting at you and you don't have your sniper rifle. He does this giant standing backflip in midair, lands on the back of the sniper rifle. It kicks up into the air, into his hands, and then he shoots her.
It's amazing.
I'm not saying it's not cool, but at the same time, it's just like, okay. The second one that I noticed that was very cringeworthy as well is towards the end when you're going to put the PAL keys into the computers.
Yeah.
And he's standing there next to this door, and Ocelot and Liquid Snake are inside the room. He stands up, jumps completely in the air, does kind of a cartwheel over the door frame, and lands on the other side of the door so they don't notice him.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I'm not saying that these are not feats that should be unnoticed, but come on. The person who wrote and directed all of these scenes.
Yes.
Ryuhei Kitamura. He has just this tendency to be over the top when it comes into like all these action scenes.
Yes.
And it really does show. It shows in a lot of this game. And it's so weird because people hate this. And like I said, I'm not a huge fan of it, but like I understand as a kid seeing this and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But Kojima wanted it to be that way.
Yeah.
Which is just even weirder because people hate this, but love Kojima, but hate the game. But Kojima wants the game to be this way. So then people are just afraid to admit that Kojima has a bad sense of direction?
Oh, well. I don't see anything in this game that is inconsistent with his previous style. So it just baffles me. This game came out in 2004. Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, came out in 2001. And that game featured a vampire who battled people via ballet. So anyone who wants to like poo-poo the lunacy of the choreography in Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, I'm like, come on. Like, you're really not on board with this because the series is just founded on lunacy and excessiveness. And that's all part of everything, you know? Like, there's a lot of goofiness to these characters that you just kind of have to accept as like a, you know, a token of Kojima's just bag of tricks.
Yeah.
As melodramatic as he makes these games, he also balances it out with just pure buffoonery. You know, the diarrhea-ridden guard.
Doing naked cartwheels in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm. you know, being able to distract guards with a lady made out of a cardboard box in Phantom Pain. You know, like, there's a lot of dumb stuff in these games, but if you're going to act like dumb stuff in one game is worse than dumb stuff in another game, I don't know how you can even enjoy this series, personally. But getting specifically to Twin Snakes, as I said at the top, I personally consider Hideo Kojima the filmmaker's favorite game designer because he's a huge film geek. He loves instilling his games with, like, things that he's inspired by from classic films or things that he's paying tribute to in classic films. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff in Metal Gear Solid 2 where he's paying tribute to the works of John Woo. There's whole sections of Phantom Pain where he's diving into 70s and 80s cinema. So the fact that he would bring on an actual film director, Kitamura, as you said, the guy who directed the cutscenes for these games, he's a Japanese filmmaker who has several films under his belt, including Godzilla Final Wars. So he brings in an actual director and he's like, redo all my cutscenes and do them with all of the energy that you bring to your movies, because that's what I like. I think that's super cool. And, I mean, storyline logic-wise, Solid Snake was genetically modified to be the perfect soldier. So, yeah, he can do awesome athletic things. That's sweet. I'm totally down with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's way more visually engaging and appealing than just the blocky polygon people jerking around hallways in the first version of this game, you know?
And then that was going to be the next thing I was going to go into, where this game seems more of an action movie rather than a stealth spy type game.
Sure, sure.
Where there's really no sneaking around needed in this game. You can pretty much go guns blazing and not really have anything hurt you at the end of the day.
That's true.
And with this, especially with having the first person mechanics inside there, kind of adds to that. So just to kind of give you an idea of some of the things that people were saying when I posted this up.
Sure.
The thing that I posted up, and I just said, can I ask why there is so much hate on Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes? That's all I asked. And and like I said, this kind of just went crazy. And there's a person that broke it down into four categories, and they said the voice acting, the first person mode, the redone cutscenes, and the music.
Okay.
So the original voice acting took itself serious, and that helped you buy into what was actually happening in the game. Whether it be a cyborg ninja, a psychic guy that could read your memory card, and a man that can control ravens. The remake's voice acting feels like it's way too aware of what people loved from the first game. The lines felt so natural and so cool in the original, but get played too hard in the remake, and it kind of ruins the lines and the setups. One of the biggest things from that, though, Tom, I will say, is Mei Ling and Naomi. In this one, they have American accents. In the original one, they had Chinese and British accents.
So, yeah, I am aware of that. Earlier today, before we recorded, I watched some comparison cutscenes between the PlayStation release and the GameCube release, just for the sake of comparing. And I think it's funny that the argument that you got was that in the original game, the voice acting took everything seriously, whereas in the new game, everything's cartoonish, because Mei Ling and Naomi Hunter's voices in the PlayStation game are super over-the-top cartoonish, in my opinion, whereas in the new game, they're much more polished and they just sound like normal people. In my opinion, Kim, my guest, the actress who does the voice of Mei Ling across the Metal Gear series, in the first game, it sounds like the vocal director was just like, be as Asian as possible in your delivery. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. I mean it kind of in the way where like a voice director would tell an actor of Indian descent, like, you know, ham it up in the accent people expect you to talk in as much as possible. Whereas in the new voiceover track, Mei Ling is just, you know, talking like a normal person, and it doesn't sound distracting, at least just for when you listen to them side by side. It's not like calling as much attention to itself. Mei Ling's just a person. You know, in the original game, it's like, oh, Mei Ling's, you know, an Asian person. I don't know. It's too cartoonish in the original, which is funny that they make the comparison that the new tracks are cartoonish. Just off that comparison, we'll get away from that. I love the new voiceover work, and I'm really happy they were able to get the whole cast back together. I think the dialogue is delivered in a much more polished manner. You know, mostly because this is the second time around that these voice actors have done this script. And for those who were in Metal Gear Solid 2, they got a chance to polish their characters. You know, like, Ocelot sounds a lot more like the gritty, grizzled Ocelot of 2. Where in 1, you know, it was the same voice actor, but he just sounds off a little bit. You know, it's like watching Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick come back to do a performance of The Producers. They originated the roles, and they're going to be better at it than most other people because they've had dozens and dozens of performances to perfect it. So saying, hey, we got the original cast back and they want to take another crack at it, I'm like, go for it, because you're going to be pros at this point. Do you disagree with me? Do you think the voice acting is bad?
I don't personally think the voice acting's bad. There's times where it just didn't seem believable in what was going on. And some people may seem a little bored with their lines every now and then, but it wasn't anything to kind of take me out of the game. I think the cast did great, and it's the entire cast, I believe, from the original game as well that came back to do this. So it was like, okay, like, I mean, I think they just had as much fun doing it too. So, like, I'm not going to, like, say, oh, they did horrible and their line reads are bad and stuff like that. I understand people's gripes because it's, you know, don't mess with the original and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think it was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything that was like, how dare you?
I can at least say there's one example where I think redoing the audio was actually a benefit. And it's that Greg Eagles. He's a voice actor. In the original game, he was the voice of the DARPA chief and Gray Fox. And in the remake, Greg Eagles is just the DARPA chief. And then they give Gray Fox a distinct voice actor, Rob Paulsen, the voice of Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. So that, like, you know, I remember replaying Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation at least some point after this, you know, and I realized, oh, it's the same voice actor. Like, it's not distinct enough of a job for you to go, oh, that's not the same guy as before. And, like, I think that's distracting when you have a voice actor do multiple characters and they don't do enough work to differentiate themselves. I like that Twin Snakes gave Gray Fox his own voice actor so that performance is its own whole thing.
I don't think we need to dive too much into the first-person mode. We kind of talked about that already.
It's bad.
Like I said, if you don't, you don't need to use it. Like, people are like, oh, if it's already there, why aren't we using it? Then you're just giving yourself something to complain about.
Well, I mean, if you buy a car and you're not using the trunk because you don't like the trunk, but you don't have to use the trunk, you know, why didn't you just get a car without a trunk?
Right. We went into the redone cutscenes, like I was saying, mm-hmm. as well. And then the music, I mean, there's some pretty good songs, pretty good, like background music and stuff. But I think, like, a lot of your main themes and stuff like that are gone from the original ones, like the ones that when you think of Metal Gear Solid, you think of these particular music cues. And I think that's another thing that a lot of people were just upset about.
I could see being upset with that. I admittedly didn't notice it, and that's not a qualifier to say the argument's bad, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. The more I thought about it as we've been talking, I'm kind of wondering if they made it more techno-y because the Sons of Liberty score had a techno feel, which is the only thing I can really think of.
Yeah.
The most important thing for me is that they keep the best is yet to come, which is that just, like, haunting, epic, kind of operatic song that initially plays in the game when you're starting out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to layer, like, 10 seconds of it in for the viewers, but I'm not going to pretend I can sing it at all. But that's the most iconic piece of music from this game for me, so I was just happy to have it back.
But with a lot of the negative stuff, though, there are a lot of positive remarks, too, that I got from posting this up online. And a lot of people were even saying, I went back to play the original one a couple times, and it just didn't click with me, but I played Twin Snakes, and it finally just, I understood it. And Okay. Do you think starting with a remake actually might benefit people more or benefit the game more, maybe get it in more people's hands?
So now I'm probably going to sound like a bit of a hypocrite, because in a previous episode, we talked about another remake, Pokemon Yellow, and I made the argument that you should start with the originals and then play the remake later as, like, a means of appreciation. But I really do think that if you want to play a Metal Gear game for the story, which for me is, like, always a big part of the experience, I would tell you to play Twin Snakes over the original in a heartbeat, because it's the best version of this story. So yeah, I think it's a way you could get into this series with, you know, with this title. Like, beyond that, something of like a statement I have to say is the gameplay of Phantom Pain has become the new default by which I want to play all Metal Gear games now. It's kind of a situation similar to Breath of the Wild, where it's like, I don't want to play a Zelda game the old way anymore because this was so great. Everything about the freedom and options you have in Phantom Pain, it's like, how can I go back to the way I used to play Metal Gear?
See, I will argue that one, though.
Hmm.
I will argue with that one. Because I don't want a hub-based game. I want an actual story.
Oh, there's an actual story in it.
But there's not, though. Like, it's more like, hey, go and collect 6 different flowers. Go and catch 3 wild raccoons. Like, that's not Metal Gear. That's not a story-driven game. That's one reason I won't play Red Dead Redemption. It's you're out riding a horse. Go ahead and pick 7 different flowers and take them back so you can knit them into different clothing.
Well, hang on. Just to jump back to what you said earlier, you don't have to do those things. And those things, for the most part that I can remember, don't influence the flow of the story. You can just go into those games and only do the things that influence the stories. And
right, but don't you have to level up in like Metal Gear 5?
There is no, how do I put it? You can beat the mainline narrative of 5 by only doing story missions, and you're fine. Like, you'll naturally level up equipment and guns and everything as you go along, because there are just story moments where tasks for the story upgrade you anyway. If you want, like, you know, the true ending or like the secret ending or like this character's ending, sure, you have to do a couple side missions and stuff that are optional. But you mm-hmm. can get through the base narrative. Same thing with Red Dead Redemption. You know, you don't have to hunt to do the main story. It's just something there for you to do.
Right. I think when I want to sit down and I want to play a game that everyone talks about how great the story is, I want to sit down and just play the story.
Okay.
I don't want to have to do all this extra stuff. And I think that
just kind of ties into my argument with Twin Snakes. You know, if you just want the story of the first Metal Gear Solid, just play Twin Snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I personally think Metal Gear Solid, the first one in general, whether it be the PlayStation version or Twin Snakes, mm-hmm. I think that it's a fantastic story. It's a little long at times and a little winded when you get into some of those comlinks, but I think it's a fantastic story. It's a great standalone game too.
I agree with you. I think it's a really great kind of like spy thriller adventure game. And the story is a big part of that. You got intrigue, you got betrayal, you've got action and like kind of high sci-fi concepts, and a lot of Kojima's kooky but interesting political stuff running through it. You know what I mean? You got cool characters with interesting backstories. It's a lot of fun to play because you're an active participant in the story, and that makes it all the more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, Tom. I think when you come in and you want to kind of play the definitive version of Metal Gear Solid, the first one, I would recommend doing Twin Snakes. You're getting a little bit extra. You're still getting the gameplay. For people who don't want to do the sneaking around, you do have the first person mechanics. So yes, it breaks it for some people, but at the same time though, like if you just want to sit down and enjoy this game, like enjoy it however you want to.
Yeah.
So going into that, though, you said you used the first-person mechanics a little bit?
I did. They're there, you know. So I use them. This is America. I can use them if I want to.
Did you find yourself cheating, pretty much, with the first-person mechanics in some of your boss battles?
I mean, yeah. You know, I'm a dirty bitch when I'm playing things for the podcast. Sometimes I'm trying to play them as quickly as I can. I'm trying to crunch, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah. You know, with Ocelot's boss fight, I was like, okay, this is early in the game and I need to get through this. So as soon as the boss fight started, I just went into first-person mode and headshotted him, you know, a bunch of times. Because it's the easiest way to do that fight.
You can do that a bunch of times in this game, too, when it comes to, like, the boss battles as well. I think you can do it with the Vulcan Raven. You can do it with the tank.
Yeah, dude, in the original PlayStation game, to beat Vulcan Raven in the tank level, you had to, like, perfectly time throwing grenades up onto the tank and on the tank treads, you know. And in this game, it's just like, throw the grenade at the tank treads, stand in one position, wait for him to come out, first person view, headshot him until he goes back in the tank, repeat until he's done, you know?
So when I talk to people about Metal Gear Solid, everyone has different ways of defeating bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be, I know some people who, for the Psycho Mantis, instead of switching out the controller ports, there's a way that you can shoot the statues with his mask on them, and it's supposed to help out in the fight. It takes a little bit longer to do, but you can do that. It's an alternative way to beat him. When you fight Vulcan Raven down in the freezer, how do you fight him?
I just wait till he pops out from cover and first person pop him, you know.
Oh, really? So in the PlayStation version or the Twin Snakes version or whatever, a lot of people I know use the stinger.
Yeah, no, I was actually...
So when it comes out...
Yeah, I was actually going to say, in the original version, when I got to replay it, I did use the stinger.
Okay. Have you ever used landmines? Because that's one of the ways that I do it. So what I'll do is I'll place landmines up throughout the freezer part. And as he goes and walks, he'll hit him and then he'll be like, ah, and it'll take him down a little bit. And then when he walks a little bit more, I'll shoot him with the stinger. And then I'll just keep repeating that over and over again.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like, there's so many different ways to like to do this. I know you mentioned about fighting Sniper Wolf without even using a sniper rifle in Twin Snakes.
Yeah, you don't need it. You can just first-person peeper, you know?
But yeah, it's just nice that there's all these different alternatives. You know, you use the first-person mode against Ocelot. I didn't. I ran around the square with them. I know a lot of people in Twin Snakes use the first-person shooting mechanic against Gray Fox, where I would rather just hand-to-hand fight them because I think it's better. And it adds more to the story.
Okay, that's fair.
But you said playing this for the podcast, you kind of just want to try to play through it and get it done with so we can start talking about it.
I just wanted to get the story and the experience in because I knew what I was in for mechanics-wise. You know, I made my peace with that a long time ago. So I was just like, okay, I just need a refresher.
Yeah.
You know?
So I haven't played this since it came out. So it's been about 14 years.
Yeah.
And man, was it like muscle memory set right back in as soon as I came into the game. It took me 3 hours and 42 minutes to beat this game.
Ah, okay.
So that was me, of course, skipping a lot of the talking because, you know, there's one part, I think there's like 45 minutes worth of just dialogue, which tends to happen in a lot of Kojima's games. I'm looking at you, Metal Gear Solid 4, with your almost hour and a half long cutscenes.
Yeah, they do a lot of big reveals in codec calls in this game. So there's a lot of, you know, you got to sit and listen if you want to hear about this twist or that twist. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, I still love it. It doesn't, I mean, it took me almost as long to beat this than it did Mario 6 Golden Coins. which is crazy. But I mean, it's a fantastic game. I don't know. Would you recommend people still play this to this day, Tom?
Absolutely. It's the definitive version of the first Metal Gear Solid. If you want like the historical completionist perspective, sure, play the PlayStation version. But if you want to get the best version of this game's story, like if you want to see the narrative told through like expressive cutscenes and better voice acting, you totally need to play this one. How about you, Josh?
So I'm going to tweak what you said a little bit. Okay. Yes, it is the definitive version of Metal Gear Solid 1. However, if you want to play Metal Gear Solid for the entire story, do not play this one. Play the original on the PlayStation 1. And the reason I say that is because there's a moment in Metal Gear Solid 4 that will go back to the original PlayStation 1 game. It will not go into Twin Snakes. So if you want that full feeling of completion throughout the entire series, skip this game. If you want a good standalone action game, play Twin Snakes and don't play any of the other games.
In the series?
Yeah.
What?
I said, if you just want a good action game.
You mean by action gameplay?
No, action game. You want a good action game. You want a good action game, just play this.
You're just saying, like, strictly on story. Good action.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, oh, it's the hottest take on this podcast that this is the best gameplay of the whole series. I was like, what? Yeah, quick question for you to clarify. So, are you talking about in 4, they go back to Shadow Moses as, like, part of the game?
Yes.
Are you just referring to the fact that, like, he has flashbacks and the graphics are of the PS1 game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, let's acknowledge that. Even though the Twin Snakes is a remake and everything, the flashback structure and even the re-release structure of the first Metal Gear Solid has always kind of defaulted to the PlayStation release. When the PlayStation got the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Collection, Metal Gear Solid 1 was the PlayStation version.
Yeah, like I said, if you want to go for the full Metal Gear Solid experience, so Solid 2, 3, 4, and Phantom Pain.
Yep.
I would play the PlayStation 1 version over this.
Okay.
Just so you get that feeling when you go in Metal Gear Solid 4, you're like, oh my god, like it's a nice little like nod to the past.
Although I will say, I did read that, just, this is petty clarification, but they do use the audio from the Twin Snakes voice cast for flashbacks in Metal Gear Solid 4, because the original game's audio was like so low quality due to the standards of the time that it wasn't usable with the sound mixing of like the PlayStation 3 era of gaming. You know, like they had to use the GameCube's voice actors re-recording. CR, a bit of it has been preserved, and it's the bit that like fans apparently really don't like, but the voice acting in Twin Snakes actually lived on.
But like I said, I think if you want the full Metal Gear Solid experience with all of the games, definitely play the PlayStation 1 version. If you want a good standalone, definitely come to Twin Snakes. Well, that's all the time that we can spend in the past, so thanks for listening. Subscribe to A Cast of the Past on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And stay up to date with A Cast of the Past by making sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There you can be the first to know when new episodes drop, as well as joining in on discussions on all things gaming. And until next time, we'll see you in the future.
We need to get Nitty Gritty music. Just like a short theme that plays every time.
Nitty-gritty.
Something
just like really sad piano.
I was thinking something way more energetic than this information deserves.
That's the Nitty Gritty.
Released on, you know, just...